Live from Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, meet and greeting here on a Thursday. Griffin back in our Finley Toyota Studios. What's up, Griff?
What's going on, Steve? How you doing?
A little flustered. We got a 30-station podcast radio row. Flustered is not the right word. Just talking to a bunch of people, seeing people that I've worked with, or maybe they have heard of me, or I've heard of them. So a lot of introductions, and it's a good radio row down here as they're getting ready for Ultimate Contest Weekend at Circa Sports. This room, we're in the Galaxy Ballroom, is upstairs, and it's actually open to the public. You know, don't come down and start rampaging. Please behave yourself, but you can watch the show, and then right in front of us, we've got stations from Chicago. We've got Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM. I used to do a little Mad Dog, like a lot of Mad Dog. Nashville is up. There's multiple Colorado stations here. Kansas City is in town. And then we'll give you all the other cities out there because we have a whole list. But if you're a fan, kind of telling you a little bit late, which we probably could have done a good service for our listeners if they're big fans of their local radio stations, by telling you who was here, but we'll do it throughout the show. And then if you want to come tomorrow, a lot of these stations will be here once again. So Adam Hill is in on a Thursday. Haven't seen you in a while. What's going on, brother?
Not much. How you doing? It's a lot going on. It's
yeah.
There's a lot here, a lot, you know, contests over town, fantasy football drafts all over the place, which some of them are here, which I may be participating in as well. Maybe get into that.
Which one are you in here?
Do one of the high stakes ones that's coming up.
It's with Circa, or it's just, you know, just
it's
a
hosted here.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alex White was on yesterday, and Alex is doing an all-female.
Oh, okay. I think it's the same group of leagues.
Okay.
It used to be the Fantasy Football Championships, I believe it was called.
I think we did stuff with them probably 15 years ago.
Now,
I think actually Ian is here, who I've worked. He was like, you remember me? I'm like, I do remember you from like 15 years ago doing – that might have been over – I think it might have been at Bellagio. I actually can envision the room. I can't remember what
I actually remember that,
it was.
Yeah. I think it was Bellagio. And now it's here, so I think we're doing
that's
two
awesome.
Weeks. And then
I made Alex the favorite. I don't know the other women in the league, but we had talked yesterday to Alex about something we hadn't really mentioned on this show.
Well, I actually listened.
Did
so
you?
I can cut in, and I'll also point out, I was like, can you guys stop? Like,
why?
You're ruining her strategy. Let her do it. She knows what she's doing.
Oh, fantasy football?
Yeah.
No, we talked all over, and I should have thrown in, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I never win. I'm an idiot. No, I meant at the beginning of the show, I wanted people to know what her background is, and she's worked for South Point Studios forever, so she's clearly in that space. But like Brad Powers, like Fezzik, who's here, like Fezzik's a two-time winner over at the Westgate, we get people on who actually win and win in public.
Yeah.
Like Fez used to do contests where he'd be out there in the public, and he would have a battle head-to-head, maybe against Brent Crow one year, and it was like 66-63% for a season. Brad, I know, has finished top five multiple times in contest, and down at right across the street at the Golden Nugget, he had done a college football season, finished like third at 67%. And to that point, Alex has won two last man, woman standing contests. That is, I mean, you talk about a resume, those are really hard contests to win.
No question about it. And it's, you know, people that get in them are mostly good, yes. So you're not beating a bunch of, you know, jabrones. Like if you win our KC league, it's like, okay, nine people have no idea what they're doing.
Whoa.
A couple of competitors.
If you can not take shots at our Kansas City friends.
If you get in something like that, it's that's legit.
Yeah. Do we need to go on a traffic rant to open the show?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think tomorrow is going to be messy.
It is.
There's going to be a lot going on.
Well, how about like I am, and I know people are against this, and they get on me all the time. Like, what are you doing? Even the people that I help out. But I am an airport pickup guy. Like, when I have people coming in, like, I'm not letting you fight the Uber line. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I pick up people. I had a pickup this morning. Friend came into town. I was there.
That's very generous.
But I have one coming in tomorrow.
What time?
Midday.
Oh.
And I said, I'll be there. He was like, wait. There's a lot going on. I know there might be a lot of traffic around the airport.
You have a game to cover.
I'm airport pick. That's not till 7. I'm airport pickup guy. That's what I do. Now, this may be the rare case where I'm like, hey, man, sorry.
You might have to back out.
I'm going to have to back out. It's going to be a nightmare tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's Last time I flew into town, we drove, so we didn't take rideshare, which I'm glad. To get back home, the rideshare looked like it was going to take like 3 hours. Yeah. I don't want to go on a rant of like the efficiency of Reed Airport with rideshare, but right now it's not at an all-time high.
Should I share my? It's kind of, I think it's frowned upon the way I do it.
What are you? What was his name who ruined the Tropicana boxing parking?
Yeah.
Kantowski?
Yeah.
Don't do that. No, don't do it on local radio. You don't give out your secrets.
Well,
no.
I feel like this also helps drivers, though.
No. We need Raiders information. I'm moving on. You're out with that dopey story. Yeah, you know, I don't want to know. I'll off the air. Or maybe later on, we'll tease ahead. Right. Do you have any time to watch college football? You sent over a note today. You're like, college football starts. Crazy. I'm like, you're not going to watch any.
I mean, I might check it out. Saturday, it's the day after, so I have an Antonio Pierce presser, but I got a little bit of time.
You are fully in the NFL fold, and what that means is, and you see it, now you're a really good draft guy, NFL draft guy, because you work at it, but most NFL people, when the college football, you know, driven NFL draft comes up, they have no idea what they're talking about because they didn't watch anything. You can't. There's too much that goes into covering the Raiders. Like, I need, first of all, the Raiders are going to play no one of importance. Okay, that's mean. They're not going to play their frontline guys. Yep. The other guys are important because it's for depth and people are trying to make the freaking team.
For sure.
So my question is, who is going to play in week one? They have a laundry list of people they've been holding out. So between Colton Miller, JPJ, their draft pick from Oregon, Brock Bowers, that one's really scary. Who else are we looking at that's been struggling to get back on the field? And, of course, Davante Adams.
Sure, he's been out. He's been back. He's that. He had a funny movement, an awkward movement that created some soreness.
What? What does that mean? You're smirking. I don't know what that means.
Well, there was the whole thing, and again, I'll be careful about this. You weren't here last Friday. We did the very careful breakdown of the timeline of events. Hmm. So before last week's game, Davante Adams said he doesn't want to play in the preseason game. Antonio Pierce the next day said anybody that's healthy is playing. The next day, Davante Adams was not at practice. After the game, it was asked, hey, you said everybody healthy was playing. Davante wasn't there. What happened? Antonio Pierce said it was an awkward movement, created a little bit of soreness, held out as a precaution.
Oh, God, stop.
That was an unforced error by Antonio Pierce.
Yes.
By saying guys were going to play.
Yes.
But, yeah, Davante magically was back on the field.
Three, four, five guys have special rules.
Yeah.
They can have the awkward move excuse.
Just say it. Just say it.
Yeah.
He's not playing. He doesn't need to. That's fine.
And I have no problem with it. But because he hasn't been playing or suiting up, then you start to think, okay, is something happening here? Is he going to be good for game one?
Yeah, he's fine. And to go to answer your questions on guy by guy, Colton Miller, fine. Back to practice. He said it's like riding a bike. He's fine. Doesn't need it. He'll be ramped up. JPJ.
Real quick, Bosa will be mostly on Munford's side?
Probably.
Okay. I just want to make sure we don't, Bosa gets very sensitive when he's playing, when he doesn't have a pulled groin or hamstring.
Yeah.
But you say anything about him, when Colton, that could be sent down to LA, Colton Miller's like, oh, just like, what'd you say? How'd you put it again? Just like riding a bike?
He's like, it's just like riding a bike.
You feed that to Bosa. Bosa essentially.
Well, he didn't say blocking Bosa is like riding a bike. He said, he said getting into your pass sets is like riding a bike.
Okay, Mongo's coming.
Sure.
Or Ogre's coming. Because we know Bosa, from the intelligence standpoint, is just like, go. That's it. I was actually instructing him in what his voice is.
Sure.
But you get my point.
JPJ will.
Screw that up.
JPJ is practicing and somewhat healthy. He will not be a starter by week one.
That one's a little tougher.
If he's active, he'll be a backup, but he'll be probably ready to go. Brock Bowers, they're saying they're not worried. We will see. He's missed a couple of days of practice in a row. Tommy Eichenberg's missed about 2 weeks of practice. The backup linebacker, rookie out of Ohio State, not sure where he is either. They said, if it was season, he'd probably be able to get out there and practice. Right now, he's not practicing, so we'll find out. And a little bit of an interesting development on the offensive line, as we talked about. Andres Pete has been the left tackle in Colton Miller's absence. He's played both guard and tackle in his career. With Colton Miller back at left tackle yesterday, we saw Andres Pete a little bit at right guard. So that's the spot that Dylan Parham is mostly occupied. We'll see what is going on there at right guard, but he did struggle a little bit last game in the preseason. So we'll see if they try Andres Pete. Andres Pete said he doesn't like playing the right side. That was about 3 weeks ago. But he was on the right side last night of practice.
Yeah, tough luck. Yeah. You don't always get the pick. Yeah. Well, some guys get the pick where they want. But if they have trouble at the guard positions, then someone's going to have to fill in there. So Ultimate Contest Weekend is here. It's today through Saturday. Get in these contests. Circa Survivor, Circa Million, $16 million guaranteed. There is an overlay now, I think probably around $3,500. We're going to talk to Mike Palm, get an update. He's from Circa. That'll be at 4 o'clock up next. Some basketball talk. Lots of Raiders updates because we're waiting all week for Adam to get in here. It's Cofield and Company on the road on a Thursday at our regular home, our favorite spot, Circa Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, time to bounce around the NFL a little bit, around the division especially. Damn, I want Seattle to be in the AFC West. I'm still stuck in that time warp. Adam Hill is here. Here is Circa Las Vegas Ultimate Contest Weekend. About 30 different stations and podcasts are out here as they get ready for a big seminar on Saturday. Parties at, and this is for the entrance. And you can get in until September 7th to Circa Million and Circa Survivor, but their bonus this weekend for entrance is parties up at Stadium Swim, and then there's a get-together at Bar Canada over the way at, I almost said Fitzgerald's, the D, of course, right?
You were really living in the past.
I really am. Well, I was just talking to Larry, who used to work at the Palms, and we did stuff at the Palms for a long time, and then Ian walked up, who we did stuff with fantasy football-wise, so we're trying to catch up with a bunch of people, so we love when people come to Vegas. Curtis Terry is a Vegas guy. He's also a Pacific Northwest guy, and he's a Seahawks fan. Curtis, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. I'll actually be at the Seahawks last preseason game here on Saturday, so unfortunately, they're not in the AFC West, so they can beat up on the Raiders. But nonetheless, I'll be in the building this weekend for sure.
Let's talk about the division a little bit, because you're a football fan. Adam, I want you to set this up with the Mahomes action over the weekend and just get, you know, Curtis is a pretty high-level athlete at UNLV, and that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, with Mahomes with the behind-the-back pass to Travis Kelce on a third and three, picking up the first down.
Kelce?
Travis Kelce. Picking up the third down on the first, off of a behind the back play where that was, as Mahomes said, it was the only way to throw the ball. Probably could have thrown it a different way, but I thought it was, I didn't think it was crazy or outrageous. I thought the play just kind of played out the way that it was. And great players do great things, and they also try things out in the preseason. And if they are ever going to do it in a game, Curtis, I feel like you want to try something like that out in preseason.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Adam, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think, first of all, Mahomes is the kind of guy where it may come off that he does stuff a little flashy and he's kind of trying to show off. I think that's just the way he plays the game. I just think he's very creative and he's out there. And the more he's played and the more he's won and has success, he just gets more confidence. And you're without a doubt right. That's when you're supposed to try this kind of thing. You definitely don't want to go try that on week one because if it doesn't work out well or if it's not expected, probably going to get an earful from Coach Reed there. But I like the way that the guys in Coach Reed, they kind of expect him to do those types of things. And they're okay with him doing those types of things. I think that just goes to show what kind of quarterback he is and the kind of confidence that not only he has, but that his coaches and his teammates have in him.
I'll kind of use this for maybe for all the sports. I mean, obviously, you've been around football. You're a fan, but you also were obviously a very high-level basketball player. But the coaches that you've been around, how many of them are cool with experimentation? And I ask that because a couple of years ago, a player in the NFL did – some things in the preseason where he was just clearly trying to work some things out and trying to figure out if they would work. And I talked to him after the game and he said, it sucks, off the record, it sucks because I got chewed out for that. And he's like, how am I supposed to learn if it works or not if I can't try it out? And there's a lot of thinking of some coaches that say, hey, you practice how you play, right? So I guess what have the coaches that you've been around kind of, where have they kind of drawn that line of trying things out during, practice or preseason? And just saying, hey, this is what you're doing in games, so get those habits right.
You got to know which coach you're playing for. In college, I played for Coach Alon Kruger, who's obviously a Hall of Fame college basketball coach. And he's one of those guys where you better make sure you did everything right in the weeks, months leading up to you trying something out of pocket. And it better go right, and it better not have even an inch of mishap potentially happening. Because there's been times where we've done some crazy stuff and maybe thrown a lob or try throwing off the glass and things like that, and it's worked out. But you look over at Coach, and he's got that snarl look on his face, and you're like, damn, I messed up. Even though it played out well and you were successful, But I think you got to go. You got to know what kind of coach you have. But you also got to have that leeway or that leash to be able to go and do those types of things, because not everybody can do it. And also, there's a time and place for some types of for those things. And you can't be trying to show somebody up. But if it's the best play possible, those kind of things you typically get away with.
Yeah, just put yourself in the shoes of a defensive player in the NFL. The quarterback does that against you. How mad are you?
I'm pissed, man. I mean, you're getting, you look bad, right? I mean, first of all, it's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Travis Kelce, and it's the Chiefs. And from that standpoint, you're already trying to play your best game, even though it's preseason. But when they come out there and they do that type of stuff, because they're already getting the Taylor Swift talk, they're getting the Super Bowl champs, they're getting, are they going to three-peat? I mean, you're carrying a lot of weight, whether it's preseason or regular season. But when they go out there and do something like that and kind of make you look dumb, it doesn't go well. I guess the only way to spin this to a positive is that they were lucky. I mean, it was a preseason game, so it's only going to have weight to carry for it was just preseason, doesn't really count. We'll see if he does that in the regular season. But if I'm a defensive player, I was made a fool, so I'm pretty pissed myself personally.
Curtis Terry, CT, is in with Cofield & Company, one of the radio voices, the analyst, for Running a Rebel Basketball, played for the Rebels as well. Adam, what's going on with Travis Kelce, and the movies?
So he's got a starring role coming up in it's a buddy cop film, which sounds probably like it's something that's pretty well fitted for him. I think he could probably pull that off.
Will Ferrell in the movie?
I also feel like they're probably putting him in a movie because of the Taylor Swift fame.
Kevin Hart co-starring?
Sure.
Okay.
But the real story is that he has asked for and been granted a cameo in the new Happy Gilmore film, Happy Gilmore 2, which I'm not sure what the actual title of that is, but he will be in that, and he wanted it, and he got it.
I'm cool with that. Again, okay. I mean, Travis Kelce, I think he's got to ride the wave right now, man. He's hot. He's one of the most polarizing athletes right now in what he's doing in terms of off-the-field stuff. Obviously, I mean, the relationship with Taylor Swift doesn't hurt. Is the other one, obviously we know Happy Gilmore is going to be a golf movie and a sequel off that, but is this other one going to kind of be like 21 Jump Street? We talk like Channing Tatum in terms of like it's obviously going to be a comedy with Kevin Hart in it. But I mean,
him going back to high school, trying to blend in with the kids, wear like a sweater.
Oh, no.
Maybe he can go back to college and try to blend in. I don't know about high school.
It'll be good. It'll be a good film. I'm sure they're going to try to get Taylor to do a cameo, too. Like, why not?
Yeah, right. Package deal. I mean, that's probably how they made this thing work. Hey, we'll give you a role in it. We'll make it happen. But there's got to be some kind of Taylor Swift tie into it, just for box office numbers, if anything.
Curtis Terry's with us. Want to talk some basketball here. First point on college basketball, we have this big NIL tournament coming to town, Thanksgiving week. Millions of dollars being handed out to 8 schools. Oh, they're going to expand it next year to 16. People are dying to come here. We got people dumping out of Maui to come here. Now there's an NCAA memo. What are we seeing here? And could this torpedo this year's tournament?
You know, we talked about this, I mean, back, I want to say maybe during March Madness when all this kind of stuff started to pop off about this. And we're kind of, how are they deciding which teams are going to pick? And the fact that you're going to go out there and just guarantee each team $1 million towards their NIL collective, that's great and all, but for the teams that aren't invited, especially with UNLV, if it being in their backyard, them not being included, there's probably going to be some animosity, some things that aren't going to go over smoothly. And if it's only the big schools that already have those NIL collectives with the huge budgets that they're dishing out money. But it sounds like they're saying that this tournament doesn't go by the rules in terms of how the NIL is set up or how these guys can make money. So I'm curious to see how it's going to happen, because they're talking about with these 8 teams, next year you're going to 16 or to 18 teams. But it sounds like this year it could go under. But I guess there's a guarantee or something written in the contracts where if they don't go on with the tournament, they still have to commit 250,000 of those teams. But those teams are going to lose those games, though. And obviously, I think that the games are more important than the teams and than that money, just based on the teams that are in the tournament. But it's interesting as how are they going to tie these guys' performance, because they can't pay to play. So you can't pay these teams to come out and just play, but they've got to come out and they've got to do marketing, they've got to do social media, they've got to do other engagements to be able to compete in this, and that's where those guys are going to make that money. But I think it's almost kind of putting the horse or the cart before the horse in this sense, in terms of how this tournament came about. It sounds great. Well, based on that article that came out and that in the memo that's relating to it, there's no streaming deal right now. There's no media deal. There's nothing in place in terms of how they're going to really profit off this thing. And they're saying that if it does go on, it'll probably be taking a 7-figure loss. So it's interesting to see how these types of events are going to move, are going to happen just moving forward.
Damn. I bet you everyone around the Mountain West would be really upset if San Diego State had egg all over their face for this. Oh, man.
Sucks to see that.
Sorry, we're both laughing hard on that one. Because their fans are so fired up that they got in this thing, and UNLV didn't, and Boise didn't. I put out, like, 3 months ago, I'm like, Boise should be in it, their best team in the conference going into the season. And all these San Diego State fans were like, oh, Boise fan, you must have gone. I'm like, I don't like Boise either. But coming into the year, they're a better program. They have a better team. Let's wrap on this one. I thought that the French big man, Gershon, 6'8", and you know whatever he is, 400 pounds, really good player. I thought he'd be highly coveted. Sixers got him for a pretty good deal. Yabusele signs for, I think, a $1.2 million deal for 1 year. I think he could be a helpful player in the NBA in their rotation.
I think the way it played out there for sure. I mean, obviously he came in, had a cup of coffee with the Celtics. It didn't work out, went overseas. But then obviously had that great run during the Olympics here that just wrapped up. And so it's a lot of those guys, even like Harley Jones that was playing for South Sudan. I mean, he came in and he, unfortunately for him, he just signed that deal with Partizan right before the Olympics. And so he wasn't able to capitalize off that as much so. But I think he'll see a guy that he's going to probably get out at some point. He'll be back in the league. But for Philly, I think they went out and found a guy that kind of fits what they need. And I think that's typically what you're trying to do, whether it's late in the summer, whether it's through free agency, or if you move into season training camp and start to make trades. But you're just trying to fill out your roster and make sure you've got the right pieces that fit what you're trying to do. And I think obviously with Joel Embiid, with Paul George, with Tyrese Maxey, they're trying to put together something to where they've got enough high-power scoring, they've got enough defensive players, but you got to have interchangeable pieces. And I think he definitely fits for what they're trying to do, as long as he can replicate what he did against the U.S., against other teams in the Olympics. If he can do that for Philly coming in the NBA season, I think that's a huge pickup for them at a bargain of a price.
Curtis, good job, man. We'll talk to you soon. Look for Adam at the game on Friday.
Yes, sir, we will. All right, guys, have a good one.
There he is, Curtis Terry. Didn't get to UNLV football questions. I'm sure he'll be at the home opener against Utah Tech. Exciting times around town. On the way back, we like to do this at least once a week. Get comments or go back and get the comments from all of our social media that we're doing. I can't even list all the stuff we're doing right now, which is good. Griffin has been the impetus to really raise our profile on social media. Of course, we got our text line, 702-364-1100, our Finley Kia text line. So on the way back, we'll set up the rest of the show with feedback from you guys in the audience.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Big Ultimate Contest weekend, Circa Las Vegas. We're in the Galaxy Ballroom, Radio Row setup here. Get in, Circa Survivor, Circa Million. $16 million guaranteed. Mike Tom's going to update us in about half an hour. Mike, of course, from Circa, on what the latest is. And my question for him is, as he sits down with people here, is there actually any other sharps in the room who do radio? And how do you know? Like, I think you're a sharp. I'm not. By sharp, I mean, like, you respect what they say about sports gambling.
Sure.
I think Mike's a hard grader, so he might tell us there's no one. Although there are gambling podcasts here, so they better come off as kind of sharp.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, right? I consider myself fantasy sharp.
Oh, you're gambling sharp.
Yeah.
Cut it out.
I would say more fantasy, but gambling, I'm in that world.
Let's see. Some feedback on our text line, 364-1100. 702-364-1100, and also up on social media. We want you guys to follow us on Instagram, ESPN Las Vegas. Steve Cofield on Instagram, Griffin Kemp. Look for all of us, Adam Hill, Nye Zaragoza, Alex White, Salerno? Yeah, Salerno. And Willie, especially Willie on TikTok. But we're up on Facebook at ESPN Las Vegas, Cofield. We got all the Twitter accounts as well. I had put up a TBT today. Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
I was confused
by it because I kept getting tagged on like Instagram and Facebook, and I'm like, what did Chuck do? Is he dead? What happened?
I was looking back at old pictures, and I was like, hey, this is the Chuck Ojeda era of Cofield & Company. It was back in 2014, and he had joined us at Nellis. Ryan the hockey guy was working behind the scenes then before he was on air, and he was out there. Remember Cameron Dadgar got us out there to Nellis, and Chuck, for some reason, they gave him like a Tom Cruise – jumpsuit. So he loved that thing.
First of all, I don't think they gave that to him. I think he brought that.
No.
I think he gave it bought to him. It.
Gave it to him.
I think he bought it and brought it with him.
We learned about F-16s. It was great. All of us, all four of us, you mean mugged in front of, I think it was an F-16.
It was a plane. I don't know.
Talk about appropriation, like military tough guy appropriation. What were you doing?
Stolen valor.
That's a great example of stolen valor. Forget what's going on now.
Taking a picture in front of a jet.
So that brought
on the runway, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah. That brought up a memory from listener Chris, who said, Cofield, that's when I was a frequent caller back in 2014. He goes, I am still on the lookout for that red Chevy S10 with the Arizona plates. I totally forgot about that story.
I didn't.
That was a classic story, and we roll with that for like 5 years because some goof, actually they were smart, kind of threatened you into letting them fix your bumper and then broke it more. Was that the case? Was that the Chevy S10?
No, they came up and said they could help fix the bumper, which was very minor damage.
Right, and they ruined it.
And
further.
I was like,
and you gave them $100 to do it.
I was like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm all right.
Please do it.
I don't need it. And they're like, no, look, I can do it, and rip the bumper off. And then said, I can do it. And I was like, I have to drive now. I can't even drive. Yeah. And they're like, well, I can fix it for $100. And I was late to the show.
So they ruined it. Then they fixed it. Yeah. That's when you gave them $100.
Yeah, and I needed to get it fixed so I could drive to the show.
There he is. Griffin, I know you're new to the show, but this is the martyr. This is the meek that inherits the earth. He's the biggest guy on the show, and he gets beat up the most by people.
I told you off air, I'm kind of going through it right now. But it's also a combination of it's a person and a company that are conspiring against me. They don't even know each other.
Oh, wow.
Adam's a big man. He could take it. He could take it.
He does. That's exactly what he does. He takes it.
Yeah.
He never lashes back. He always takes it. Sad. Yeah, I'm sorry to bring that memory up from 10 years ago, but that actually was a really funny thing that happened on the show.
Yeah, I told you somebody hit me in a rental car while I was on the road.
They told me.
And then they're like trying to not give me information. I was like, no, I need the information. He said, just turn the car in and see if they even notice. And then the rental car company, when I took it back, they didn't want the guy's information. Like, we'll put it on yours. I'm like, no.
Okay. Did you do what we said to do?
I don't want to bother him, but I called.
We have an attorney on the staff.
I don't know.
This is like one of his specialties. Will you reach out to Justin Watkins, please?
I don't like bothering him.
Oh, stop.
I've done it too many times.
Stop. 364-1100, 702-364-1100. Let's see. We've had a lot of different people in doing the show, a lot of new company members. Cofield, where do you find these fill-ins? They absolutely suck. He said something about William, something about Salerno being blanking awful. Bring back Adam.
I'm here.
Well, we're trying. And those guys are not, they don't effing suck. They're good. So are I, and so Alex, and Danny's in every once in a while, and it's a big company now.
They're all great, but they do have a high bar to live up to.
Sal wanted to ask on the text line, is there any scenario where Tyree Wilson gets cut or traded?
No, but
it's not good.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Chris, reacting to Harry Lyles from ESPN, who was on last week, and Lyles was like, Raiders aren't good. He said, don't let this guy Harry Lyles back on the show. How dare he say the Raiders will finish at the bottom of the league? Mark responded later in the week. He said that Nye knows nothing about football. She's nothing but a know-it-all talking head, or no, nothing talking head. Gardner Minshew is an overpaid third-string stiff. Looks like another year of not making the playoffs. So Chris is mad because someone said they're not going to make the playoffs, and Mark is mad because Nye was too high on the Raiders.
Well, just to not to address those directly, but I do find it interesting. I've done a lot of radio spots and different things the last couple of weeks, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from people that are like, every year you say the Raiders aren't going to be good. Every year you say we're going to miss the playoffs. Yes! What have I been wrong?
One time.
They weren't good that year. Look at all the advanced metrics.
But you said playoffs.
Six of their seven wins down the stretch were against backup quarterbacks. Like, that wasn't a good team, and they lost in the first round, of course. But sure, that year they did. But to that point of, you're always hating on, like, not even just me. They go after other media people. You're always hating on the Raiders. What have they done to show to prove people wrong? Ever. And why do you still have faith every year? It's wild.
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
We're at Circle Las Vegas. Every Thursday we're here today. Swanky Diggs of the Galaxy Ballroom. Adam Hill is here. Radio Row, Ultimate Contest Weekend. Circa Survivor, Circa Million. If you had your chance to go in one of them, what would you go in?
Ooh, it's tough. I mean, I really want to do both. But I feel like Survivor every week just gives you that exhilaration. And as long as you're in it, it's like this huge, massive rush for you. And there's actually a chance that you could potentially
you know, strategize and get there to the end. Circa Millions is much more, it's like every game is so important, but you don't have that, you know, individual rush every single week. So it's just a very different kind of contest. But I think I'd probably go Survivor.
I'm getting us into Circa Million, and I'm either going, when I say us, I'm either going to do it myself or I'm going to spread the wealth and have the staff do it. You will not be invited.
Okay.
But you can be an observer, analyst. You can fill that role. But you're not in with us. Sorry.
Okay. I mean, we had some good thoughts on, like, group ones. Like, if you miss two in a row, like, everybody picks one. If you miss two in a row, you're out for at least 2 weeks.
I just think the rules you may come up with.
Well, the rules are set.
Could be kind of tough.
You don't make your own rules. The rules are set by Circa.
We'll get an update on this. You're also a pain in the ass. That's one of the biggest problems. I don't know. Would you turn in your pick on time? I don't know. Let's go out to Chicago. I hope he's safe there. I mean, it's a murder mayhem every day in Chicago. I keep looking at pictures of Xavier Pope, and I'm like, man, it looks beautiful there. What's going on, EP?
What up? You know what's so wild, Steve, is that so many people that came here for NABJ a couple weeks ago, they came in for DNC, had never been to Chicago, and been completely floored by how beautiful and clean the city is. How many great places they are to eat. People are shocked that there's a beautiful, clean, gorgeous miles of beach that you can go have, like, Mai Tais and sit by the water at beachside bars.
But you got to have a gun. You got to have a gun, though, when you do it. You got to have a gun.
There's also
– uh-oh.
You're preaching to the choir on Chicago. I love Chicago. I think it's a great city. There's no way there's good Mai Tais in Chicago.
So, I think he's in a bad phone zone.
Uh-oh.
I think this could be a challenge today. Yeah, he's in
no matter where you go in Chicago, there's absolute noise, traffic, people, protests.
Stay away.
Literally, where I live, Steve, is everyone that's at the United Center, that's where they're coming to get their Ubers. Literally, people are in my carport getting Ubers.
Nice.
It's a scene. It's a lot going on here.
Xavier, what do you think of the news last week that RG3 and Sam Ponder got fired? I thought it was a weird move this close to the season, and now there's been a lot of offshoot stories with especially Ponder.
I mean, I wasn't shocked by it. I mean, ESPN has made a lot of questionable personnel decisions over the last few years, haven't they? And so getting rid of staff, I think that with every story of someone's firing or movement and employment, it now seems to have been politicized. Every single person, either on the right, left, center, you agree with them or not, the identity politics. I mean, with the Ponder situation, it's just strange to me, Steve.
You know, the other thing that came out of this is Sage Steele is really coming off as kind of a mean person. And maybe she was really, really mistreated there, and maybe people were just awful to her. But on Sam Ponder going bye-bye, she said, this is another loss for ESPN, but it is a gain for literally the rest of the world because you're now going to see the true Sam Ponder. Like, what did Sam Ponder do to Sage Steele to get her that pissed off?
I have no idea what Sage Steele is talking about. She is embracing an agenda that just – She was a person that let people pull her hair and not say anything about it and be, you know, very demure, as a popular term is going. But then she gets a platform for herself, and she feels to be flying off in the mouth saying whatever. So I take it with a grain of salt with Sage Steele.
Xavier Pope was with us.
I just want to go back. You thought that was anti?
No, I think what she said, she was I think she was basically saying that she maybe identified with the same type of politics that she does.
Yeah,
that's how I read it.
I think she's saying I think she's saying,
so this is a freeing of Sam Ponder.
Yeah, it's a freeing of Sam Ponder. Now you guys get to see the real her, and
yeah,
it's good for everybody because ESPN blew it.
Like Michelle Tafoya and all the different folks that are going from sports reporting to right wing media as a way to maybe get a prolong their flailing and waning careers.
Yeah, Steve Kim brought that up on Monday, that maybe Ponder was in the – what was it, Orlovsky, who put out Protect Our Daughters, and then they think that ESPN told him take it down, and then Ponder was somehow involved in that too. And so All right. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you read tweets, sometimes I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to interpret this freaking thing.
But I can explain RG3, though, Steve. I mean, he was getting better on air to me, and he was solid. He put out a lot of content. He was very active on social media. That was a head-scratcher to me.
Yeah, and I thought he got it. Like, you know, he's a pot stirrer, but that's kind of part of the gig, and they've got some other people. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say who they are, but, you know, they've got some stiffs who and many who I don't know if they have the upside to be as good as RG3 was, but I'm sure he'll land somewhere. Adam, do you want to explain to the audience what is going on with Mina Kimes versus OutKick, and is she feeling like she's been bullied over the years?
Yeah, they've published some things about her that, you know, she feels aren't true or are unfair, and every time they publish something, the comments are out of control. And I mean, I've read them. Obviously, I think many people have. I think there is a debate whether a platform should be, you know, admonished or blamed when their readership or their, yeah, you know, their consumers are complete horrific people.
Like, is OutKick and, say, Barstool, the bro culture that they may push, are they to blame when people just get freaking steamrolled by negative comments, yeah, and they're the followers that kind of follow that bro culture?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. And, yeah, and in this case, like, she posted some stuff that was vile and awful and disgusting. And then Clay Travis put out something that was like, hey, look, your people do it to me too. And I was like, hey, you're a jerk. Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, Clay Travis is a jerk. OutKick is a jerkish outlet. I feel like Barstool embraces bro culture. Toxic masculinity, but OutKick takes a step further, and they embrace sexist, racist, just hateful culture with minimal amount of journalistic integrity, skill, at all.
Xavier Pobos with us out of Chicago. Let's wrap on a couple of stories. First of all, we talked about J.K. Rowling last week and potentially part of that bullying suit with the gold medalist boxer, and now she's starting to delete tweets. Deleting tweets, maybe at the behest of your attorney, does that do any good if there's a case to be had here? What does that do?
I mean, what that does, Steve, is depending on what jurisdiction you're in, she can say, well, these tweets are down, or they don't exist. So, and then you have to basically prove that they actually existed, and metadata and experts on metadata making trials more expensive. And so, I mean, that's the only thing I see in terms of that vein. Her not tweeting in a couple of weeks when she was pretty active at tweeting what she was thinking lets you know that she F-A-F-O. I told you that, Steve, last week. I said, you know, it looked like she stepped in it, and we're seeing the evidence of that right now.
I got to tell you, as a Jets fan, I'm very leery of what's going to happen this year with A-Raj, with Saleh, with a power battle there. I am so jealous of what I'm seeing on Hard Knocks with Caleb Williams and then the Las Vegas Roma Dunze and a general good attitude and a lot of optimism. How good are you feeling about the Bears?
It's pretty positive attitude around the franchise and around the city about the future of the Bears, and especially the offensive side of the ball, which you really just haven't seen here in quite some time. And Caleb Williams being able to throw the ball the way he's able to throw it. And I said this during the game, the last game the Bears played, that he looks like year three Justin Fields now. And so the fact that he's already at this developmental stage is an extremely positive sign for the team. And I think the team is moving in the right direction.
Xavier, we appreciate the time, man. Stay safe in Chicago. I kid. I love you, buddy.
Love you, guys.
Okay, there he is, Xavier Pope. Sorry, it's funny.
It is.
I went to San Fran a couple weeks ago. I was like, this is amazing. I was in New York, crime-riddled New York, 3 months ago on a vacation. Seemed fine. Philly, yeah, it was good.
The bullet marks went away? You recovered?
What did?
When you got shot, the bullet holes, that's all gone?
I've actually never been shot in a big city.
What? It happens every day to every single person.
Every time I go on the road in the Mountain West, I'm dodging bullets left and right.
Well, there's all the, no all big the cities in the Mountain West.
No, that's what I meant. Small town. By the way, I don't get shot in the Mountain West either. Do you want to make a Reno joke before we go on there?
Get it all out of the system.
I walk around Reno all the time. It's lovely.
It's not lovely, but you walk around there. That's fine.
And, you know what? The walk over to have you been to Tiger Tom's? The Bills Bar?
No.
I usually send you guys a picture every time I'm there because they got some Bill stuff up. Last time I went to Tiger Tom's, a little bit, the street's a little bit dark, but last time I went there, very nice, great conversations.
I'm sure they're wonderful.
They weren't super. They didn't hate on Vegas. They actually got into a big conversation about the roads in Vegas. which I then wanted to open up that Pandora's box. And I'm like, yeah, you know why they're bad? Because you have all the money.
Because
we give you all the money in the north.
Because people actually want to live here.
Okay, we don't have to go like that.
We've got 4 minutes to get it out.
I didn't get to the story with Xavier. We got about 2 minutes left in this hour. Is J.J. Watt being J.J. Watt? Can he just
maybe?
Can he just smoothly ride into retirement and stop asking for attention and just be a broadcaster? You get plenty of attention that way.
It's just not him. He's throwing up photos of the facility, like the gym inside the facility, just for speculation. What's going on? Is he working out? Is he coming back? Is he going to be a part of a Texans run to the Super Bowl? No, he just wants you to talk about him. He misses it.
I bet you. Do you think if you could get off the record Texans brass to talk about J.J. Watt and his personality and the amount of attention he does need and care he does need, would they tell people like, yeah, we don't – 37-year-old J.J. Watt, we're good. He's a legend. Yeah. We appreciate what he did, but we're good.
Yeah, they didn't really work with him, though. I mean, it's a different administration, different ownership, different GM, all those things. So maybe they don't know. Maybe they would just want the player. But I certainly wouldn't want all the headaches to go along with it. Everything is about J.J. Watt when J.J. Watt's around.
But he's so charitable.
And he'll let you know.
Yes. Are there guys on the Raiders who are extremely charitable that maybe people around Vegas don't even know about how much charity they do?
Well, I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, there's literally a guy right now doing a charity event, and I don't think it's really known by many people, but there's, like, a back-to-school shopping spree going on involving Alexander Mattison, the running back. Like,
oh, really?
Moment. Yeah.
What's going on there?
Just took some kids from the Boys and Girls Club and took them shopping over at Forum Shops today. But he does, like, three times a week he's doing some charity event.
He's a big mental health advocate, too, right?
He is, big time. His I Am Genius Foundation does a lot of great work. And I talked to him the other day, and I said, hey, I think we're going to your event in a couple of days. He goes, which one? Because he's doing so many. He's like, I'm doing a lot of them. He does them all the time, and he's about it. Like, he doesn't just do it for, you know, clicks or publicity or anything. That's what he wants to do.
Grab your UNLV season tickets right now. Season tickets are available starting at just $150 per. If you want to have club season tickets, $375 apiece. You get six games in that package, and you got really good games against Boise and Syracuse and Reno, and rivals like San Diego State and Fresno are all coming to Las Vegas. Only lower bowl seating is available. Again, UNLVtickets.com, UNLVtickets.com for season tickets. They're still available. Lock up your seats now. Very affordable price, and the season kicks off in less than 10 days.